Waktu kejadian itu saya tidak pernah menceritakan apa-apa karena saya tidak mempunyai off day, tidak punya tidak memakai telepon juga, tidak punya handphone. Jadi saya berpikir kalau kalau saya tidak melarikan diri, saya tidak akan hidup atau tidak akan selamat dari sini. Pada awalnya sih semuanya normal, terutama majikan. Kalau saya sedang mencuci, dia sering mengobrol terhadap saya. Dia menanyakan kegiatan apa yang saya sering lakukan di Indonesia. Setelah saya 2 minggu di situ, dia menunjukkan sikap perubahan terhadap saya. Dia mengeraskan suara dan menggunakan tangan atau benda lainnya. Jadi saya berpikir kalau kalau saya tidak melarikan diri, saya tidak akan hidup atau tidak akan selamat dari sini. Saya sudah berniat melarikan diri sewaktu saya mencuci muka di toilet waktu pas dia pukul menampar saya dan memukulkan apa menggunakan jarinya meninju hidung saya. Jadi enggak sampai hitungan setengah jam itu saya sudah melarikan diri. Enggak tahu ke arah tujuan mana, yang penting saya bisa melarikan diri dan meminta pertolongan seseorang.
One can read from the news reports that she basically had to flee her employer's house, you know, to seek help. She was in a very stressful and difficult circumstance, and of course the trauma of that kept playing while she was at the shelter.
Pas di halte bus itu, ya di bus stop, di jalan kayu itu, pas ketemu perempuan itu, pertama kali saya meminta pertolongan untuk menelpon agensi saya gitu, karena saya dikasih kartu nama dari agensi sebelum saya ke rumah majikan. Tapi saya waktu itu saya menolak ya untuk menghubungi polisi karena saya takut gitu akan berkepanjangan. Tapi perempuan itu meyakinkan saya. Dia bilang, kamu jangan khawatir, kamu jangan cemas, polisi akan membantu kamu dengan sebaik mungkin.
Domestic workers, they naturally want to see the perpetrators of abuse be brought to justice, right, as the victims. However, when they realize or know that they have to go through this whole criminal justice process and they have to answer very detailed questions about the abuse that they have gone through and have to relive the process, essentially, it does put them off sometime. So yes, what Yulia has said is common in what we see in a lot of other cases as well.
Polisi datang ke bus stop itu dan dia mulai interview saya. Benar-benar pikiran ngeblank karena apa? Sangat ketakutan gitu dengan kejadian itu. Akhirnya saya pingsan. Iya. Pingsan di jalan itu. Setelah itu, saya nggak tahu berapa lama saya pingsan itu.
We have seen cases where domestic workers are sympathetic. For example, when they are elder care patient who has dementia physically abuses them, they feel like they don't want to make a report because they understand the circumstances of the household, of the employer, and they have an attachment also to the employers. A lot of domestic workers, sometimes we realize, are not even allowed to step out from the house. They're not allowed to speak to other people. So if they are in that world, they might actually think, okay, so this is what employment in a household is like. You know, this is maybe what domestic work is like, and I just have to grin and bear it. We've noticed more calls coming to us with members of the public saying, I feel like, you know, something not quite right is happening. It's always not always abuse cases, but they do mention, like, okay, the domestic worker, she never comes out of the house. You know, we hear a lot of shouting going on and all of that. We are concerned. We can only speak to her like a few hours when she washes the car. So it's sometimes really a whole of society effort. It's, yes, most of our cases come through the domestic workers themselves or through the police, but, you know, it also, members of the public, you know, should also look out for instances where domestic workers might be abused and just make a report. Yeah.